The Approaching the Natural Podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here once again, coming to you each week, hosting this here podcast of mine. Welcome to one and all. If you're new here, good on you for being here. And if you've come before and you're coming again, hey, good choice. You're a sound human being, and I'm digging what you're bringing. Wow. I almost hit pause and started that over, but you know what? I got to tell you something. It's my birthday today. Boom. That means that I can just take this intro and just from the worst place, and it's my birthday. What are you guys going to do? Criticize me on my birthday? That's not cool. That would be the unnicest thing you could possibly do. But here I am. Now, if you thought that I was going to not do this because it's my birthday, you thought wrong, sir, ma'am. I could have done it yesterday, was going to, but didn't. And so I'm doing it today. And my birthday this year happens to fall on a Monday. And what do we do on Mondays? Record the podcast. My birthday is December 21st. If you're just listening to this some other time in the past or future, whoa, that was heavy. And it's the first day of winter. It's the winter solstice, as it were. I was born on the winter solstice. There you go. So it's a big day for no real reason other than just somebody goes, yeah, let's make that day the first day of winter. We'll call it winter. We'll just make up that name. Now, I already decided what the end of the episode song was going to be because I actually wrote a song years ago called Winter. Boom. That's going to be the song at the end of this episode. So I've got it all laid out for me. I've got my whole life ahead of me. Had a nice breakfast with my family yesterday. And at breakfast, this was kind of like my birthday breakfast because I went to work today. It's Monday. And so, I could have taken it off, whatever. Had a nice breakfast. And at breakfast, they said, how old are you? I said, 47. And then they're like, my wife chimed in. She's like, that's almost 50. Now, you know, if you've heard this podcast before, I get her because I always say I'm almost 50 and that chaps her hide because we're basically the same age. Just, I'm a little older, but not by much, less than a year. So she says almost 50. Then they say, how much longer until you're 100? I said 53 years. And my son, the twin, one of them goes, yeah, if you last that long. So happy birthday to me. I mean, really, that if that wasn't enough to set me up for a day of joy, I don't know what, you know what I mean? It's neither here nor there. I may make it to 100. I don't know. I mean, that's the only reason I do any of the things that I do is just so I live till 100. That's not true. You guys know that's not true, right? This is about the here and now. If you're just joining me, wow, you happen to come on this podcast on my birthday, 118 episodes in. You're a little late to the party, but fashionably late, as it were. In this podcast, I discuss weekly, every week, things and ideas, discussions, conversations about how to live better in the modern world. How to achieve more health, more happiness without making huge shifts and swings in your day-to-day. That's a tricky business. Here's the business that doesn't make money. And I'm just extending a metaphor. Diets and quick fixes, because they make huge swings. And the percentage of those things that last are very slim, if not none, because those huge shifts don't generally work because they're in the context of a whole bunch of other stuff that we have to juggle every day. My mission, as it were, is to help you guys each week come back here for reminders and new things, hopefully, and this and that, but to help you what I call the wall of behaviors that exist today. As you're sitting here listening right now, you've got things that you do daily or weekly or yearly or whatever, things that you do, mostly without even thinking about it, even things you think about, you're still doing it, things you do that you don't want to be doing, but you do them anyway. And I've got to help you figure out a way to what I call make cracks in that wall, not take out chunks, because it doesn't work that way. Whatever that is, and I'm not a psychologist, but here's what I know. It doesn't work and I know this from experience and from the research I've done on habits and behaviors, but I know firstly and foremost was from experience, which was asking somebody as a nutritionist, me, years ago, to take on a whole bunch of huge shift, a whole bunch of stuff, and say, here's your meal plan. It never works. It never works because it's too much. You can do it and force yourself to do it for a short period of time. But as soon as something happens to trip you up, like life, oh, I don't know, kids, jobs, everything else, it's like, screw it. I can't sustain. Last week's episode was same as it ever was. I think I made some good points in that episode. No, I don't. It's not, that's not how I roll here, but I did. But same as it ever was, referred to how you come at your life, because it's too hard to negotiate these huge, huge shifts. And when you come at your life from a place of contextualizing your actions, saying, well, I want to take this on, but how much am I able to take on given the rest of my life, what's going on, then that allows you to make adjustments to the things you're adding in, because you're doing it in conjunction with an overall consideration of how you're living day to day, such that if you're working 15 hours a day and you have an hour and a half commute each way, which unfortunately in the modern world isn't exactly unheard of, you know, going to an hour and a half yoga class every morning may be just too much. And what that does for you is not in the small steps approach. In my small steps approach, doesn't make you feel like, ah, well, now I'm failing. It says, well, let me dial that back down and figure out where I can bring it in. Well, how can I crack my wall in this way? Can I do, can I get up from my desk and do one sun salutation, which might take 1 minute if yoga is your bag? There's a whole bunch of ways to do that, but it first and foremost is same as it ever was, how to build in a way to approach your life, not to do the same things over and over again. We've done that, right? As adults, we've all sort of like, I've been doing these behaviors. I've been eating this way. It's always the same. What I'm bringing in is a new idea, a new way of saying the same as it ever was, which is I'm going to approach my life the same way for the rest of my life, regardless of what happens in my life, the particulars of my job, family, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So if you're just joining me, that's what I do every week. Come here and check it out and get on it. Okay, good. Mm. This episode is brought to you by the Mendocino Coast 50K, my race that is heating up, you guys. It's not heating. Look, I'm going to cap it at 100. It's a small race, but I'm up to 44 signups. That's exciting. I said 35 and I would have been happy at 35. I got 44. And there's still time. And there's no pressure here except to say the hard cap at 100 is really a hard cap. Like, it's not a joke. Like, if I hit 100, that's it. I'm done. So if you're waffling, I don't want you to feel pressure. But if you're waffling and you're sort of going, oh, I'm definitely going to do it, I'll sign up later, sign up now. Because it's like the last week, it's been, you know, jumping up pretty good. And so I just want to make sure you get in and you're not disappointed. But again, if it goes well, I'm going to be doing it next week anyway. Anyway, MendocinoUltra.com is the website, MendocinoUltra.com. There's a guy named Patrick Cole, semi-pro ultra marathoner guy. Turns out he has the same birthday as I do, totally random. We've been kind of working together for the last couple months. He offered to help me out. And he's been helping out, getting sponsors and things like that. But anyway, he texted me last week. He's like, hey, Do you want me to invite on social media Lance Armstrong, that Lance Armstrong, to your ultra marathon? And I was like, yeah, freaking Lance Armstrong. What the hell do I care? Like, he's been out of the news forever, and I never was following the Tour de France anyway or his career. I don't really care. I was honestly like, didn't even know that he ran ultra marathons. I was like, yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not going to publicize. It's fine. So then I get a call from a co-host of a ultra running podcast, my favorite one, and he's very nicely, he's like, hey, I noticed that you invited Lance. I was like, well, it wasn't me, but yeah, I okayed it. And he's like, yeah, you know, there's just all that controversy. And I was like, what, like the thing that happened years ago? And he's like, no, like now there's like a controversy. So what I realize is I've referred to myself as like the worst social mediaist, and I am. So and I was on a run with Sid on Saturday, one of our weekly runs, and I'm telling her the story. She's like, he's all over the freaking social media. And I just was like, oh, I didn't know. Anyway, turns out he competed in some ultra and won it, and it's caused a big hullabaloo because the ultra marathoning world is trying to get on top of doping. They don't know if it exists, but they want sort of a regulation to be enacted so that they can bring that element into. It's becoming professional enough of a sport that they want the same kinds of regulations and fair game policies, which I'm 100% behind. And so I said to the guy, I was like, oops, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I literally was like, yeah, Lance Armstrong, you might as well invite freaking Weird Al Yankovic. Like, these are people I don't even think about. They're not on my radar. And so anyway, I just thought that was funny. So Lance, if you're listening, apologies, but you're disinvited. I don't really care if he wants to sign up. I'm not going to tell him to stop. He messed up. I'm not going to crucify the guy. But at the same time, I don't think he feels very bad about the whole shebang. Okay. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, Sid Garza Hillman. Okay. Go there. Do that. Reviews and all that kind of crap. I'll go at the end and tell him, beg for the reviews at the end. Freaking begging for it. SidGarzaHillman.com is how you reach me, how you can donate to the podcast, how you can buy a t-shirt, mug, or bracelet for Christmas, Jiminy Christmas. You can buy my book now. I sold a few more this week. I think it's a great idea. Doesn't cost virtually barely anything more than getting it on Amazon, but you get a custom signed book from me. You buy it, I email you, you email back telling me what you want to write in it, and I'm writing it. Who doesn't think that's a good idea? Nobody doesn't think that's a good idea. That's a double negative, you guys. So that means everybody thinks it's a good idea. But the book itself, if you want, it's a great stocking stuffer in Amazon and bookstores and everything else. Okay, good. StanfordInn.com for retreats, running retreats, cooking retreats, healthy living retreats with me. Go there, check it out. There's a discount on the March running retreat with Matt Frazier, No Beat Athlete. Boom. Last two quick announcements. Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd, I will be there. Edinburgh Veg Fest, also going to be there August 6th through the 7th. Veganfestival.co.uk for the Edinburgh and healthfest.com for the Marshall. Okay? All right. I hear, you know, from listeners, you know that's my favorite thing. If you're just joining me, it's my favorite thing. So I get emails from people and they're always really nice and supportive, and it helps me because this is a free podcast and always will be, and I come here because I love it. But I hope that it gets through to you. Otherwise, if I'm just talking to a chalkboard, then maybe I'll just talk to the mirror and at least be like, hey, Sid, you know, that kind of thing. But I digress. I got an email, one of the better emails, and I've gotten some great emails, but this one was excellent. So you guys know that I talk about integrated exercise. If you're following me, if you've seen my YouTube channel, I did a video on integrated exercise. If you on Strava, I post, you know, you'll see 5 to 6 days a week integrated exercise. I post it. I think people are like, that's not really exercise because I posted a 24 mile, on a unicycle. But I post my little, 140 pushups, 140 squats, split up 7 times, so 20 of each. And that's where I'm at. Doesn't really matter. I think you should post if you do 1 squat per day. I would post. I would totally post that. Why? Because freaking exercise. And good for you for diving into your life. I'm serious. Okay. So a listener emailed me and she said that she was, heard about the integrated exercise from the podcast, I'm assuming, or the video, whatever, and decided she would give it a shot. So she said 3 hours in. So I'm assuming she's doing squats from what I'm about to tell you. But 3 hours into her first day of integrated exercise, where she's doing something every hour, she does a squat, boom, her pants rip. Now, that's so good and so bad at the same time, I can't even tell you. It was the greatest email. She's like, look, warn your listeners that if they're going to do a squat every hour, they should either bring wear a Lycra bendy kind of pants or bring a sewing kit. And then she said, or a sweater to tie around your waist when your pants rip. Boom. She is officially a small stepper. So her hashtag, which was in an email, was the split heard around the world. I mean, is that paradise? So hats off to her for, first of all, getting into it. And second of all, writing me about it. Made my day. Hilarious. So you know how I always say, well, not always, but often we'll say, like, small stepping doesn't cost anything. Like, if you want to exercise, you don't have to go to the gym and buy all the equipment and the gym membership. You know, you can, but you don't have to. Like, this doesn't cost anything. You know, maybe my running is a $65 pair of shoes once or twice a year at the most. Like, this is not an expensive endeavor to take this way of living on. It can be when you're into stuff if it makes you happy. Except at now I stand corrected. If you're going to start integrating exercise, you may need to buy new clothes to handle the stretchiness of your body, which is, a whole unforeseen cost to this. My apologies. Start budgeting for spandex and start wearing yoga pants to work. That's what I do. You've seen the videos. Anyway, real email. Just squatted down in the office. Boom. Split the pants. Is that great? Okay. Now, I know I touched upon this last week, but I'm just getting into this whole thing again about the difference between change, the small steps that are about change and the small steps are about that are about maintenance. I want to just make one more point about that. The backdrop of that is that you're engaging. So you're engaging in your life during this process, okay? And you're saying, I'm overweight. I just use that because whatever. I'm overweight. So hopefully you're listening to this podcast and you catch yourself at some point and say, really, this isn't about weight. This is about, I want to be healthier and happier. So I'm going to enact a step to eat healthier. The more you move up the heavy box spectrum, the more weight you're going to lose with the same amount of being full. And it's just a fact. The more you heavy box up, the more weight you're going to lose. And so it's why animals in the wild aren't overweight, is because they don't have any other options but heavy box. And so they don't flavor and sweeten and combine and cook and manipulate food so that it gets us high. They just eat the food that's available and they're at a good weight. So would we. They're not hungry. They don't eat anymore. But we don't have that luxury because we flavor things in such a way that we can not be hungry. And then the pneumo nose, boom, next thing you know, Sid, I don't want to talk about it. Okay. So, and I had a couple extra pieces of cake, last night. Boom. More on that in a minute. So you're kind of sitting there like, okay, I want to overweight, but then I want to eat better. And so I'm going to enact this step that is my eating better step. I've done this with clients, what I'm about to tell you, this exact thing, which is, put something raw on your plate at night. And I'm not a raw foodie. I'm just saying, if you're eating fast food, let's say at night, chicken, fried chicken and whatever, to balance that out with a celery stalk or a few slices of cucumber. That's your step. Something raw, number four on your steps list. Boom. Something raw with dinner, right? Doesn't even matter amount. Something raw could be a bite. But you're thinking about it, you got the start, you got started, there it goes. Okay. So let's say that is the beginning. And then you start to identify yourself as somebody who eats healthy food every day. Why? Because you freaking do. More on that in a minute. Over time, you start building in, and then all of a sudden, a month later, now like you've got a salad with your fried chicken and mashed potatoes, like from Kentucky Fried Chicken, you've got a salad on the side. Well, that's weird. And then eventually you're getting like some maybe you move over to tofu, which is not like the healthiest food, but it's healthier than fried chicken. I think you can sort of braise some tofu or in some veggies and quinoa. Who knows where you go? Eventually you're looking at a plate, which is like quinoa and stir-fried vegetables and a big salad and whatever that is. And you're eating kicking ass and you're good. And then your weight's coming down. You're like, whoa. And you're feeling good. Then you got it. Then in that step, you got to move to, don't have to, but you will want to, because you're going to be much happier. You're like, I ain't messing this one up. I got here. I'm freaking sticking. And you got there in such a way that it's inked. See, when you diet, it's not inked. When you diet, you get to the weight without knowing without learning anything from the process. And so you get to the weight with a diet in 21 days and you want to keep it there, but it's near impossible to keep it there because you haven't wedged any new behaviors in your wall. You look like somebody who is eating well most of the time and you've sort of acted like that for a little bit, but you haven't actually become that person. You haven't built up what I call the arsenal of experience. You don't have anything to draw off of to keep you going. It seems good and you're getting all the pump from the people at work who go, oh my God, you look amazing. What are you doing? Well, I'm doing this diet and buying these pills and these powders. Oh my gosh, I want to buy those things too. That's amazing. I can do this without even thinking about it while I sleep. Okay. So now you're back. Now you've taken the time, however long that is. That's based on you, not fixed. That's why I don't write a book that says week one you do this and week two you do that, right? So you get there and you get there and you're there, not for fakey, but for really. And you sit there and you're like, okay, now I got to maintain this mofo. So now I got to figure out how to small step day to day, how to create my MOT so that I can maintain this. Okay, great. So that's on your in your behavior. You may have removed it off the steps list because you kind of eat well most of the time, but you gotta stay engaged. So maybe on your steps list, it just says, I eat well most of the time, or I have this kind of meal most of the time. Okay, that's that realm. But what about during that time when you're in the maintenance phase, right? In that realm. But what happens if you didn't really take on exercise during that time and you want to exercise? Well, maybe one of your steps is actually a change step, meaning you're sort of like you were at the beginning of the food step, but now it's an exercise. Or you exercise and eat well, got that dialed in, but you still feel like antsy and restless. And you're not that happy. And your weight's coming down, that's great, and you are happier, and it's great, but you've always wanted to X, Y, Z, play an instrument, write a book, whatever, and it's always that nagging thing, and now you're engaging your life, and you're realizing how much potential there is for you. It's like, oh my gosh, everything's on the table. Like, what's on your table? That was an episode I did. Everything's on the table. What can't I do? I mean, I might as well just check that out. So I'm going to play the harmonica. Yeah. Okay. And so you're gonna small step that 1 second of 5 seconds of harmonica. I was talking to my buddy Scott, who I've talked about in the podcast before, and he's been trying to do a piano thing, and his freaking steps are too big. And I keep saying he's not my client, but I go, you know, he goes, what did I just walk by and play one note? And I go, yes, you should walk by and play one note per day, because here's how I always win the argument. I go, are you playing piano now? And they go, no. And I go, if you said I'm playing piano 30 minutes a day, we wouldn't be having this discussion, because you're doing the thing that you want to be doing. If you say you're playing piano once every month and you're not happy about that, then that's how you change that. If you're happy with that, great. I mean, I play music once a week. I'm ecstatic about that. So it's not, there's no objectivity here in terms of the size of the steps. That's why my approach is so different from most other small stepping, and there ain't many of us, small stepper kinds of things out there, because it is completely 100% tailored. In a sense, I have to teach you to learn enough to get to the point where you can assess and figure out the size of your small step. That I'm going behind even the small steps, really to create the foundation from where you then embark on the small steps approach. It's like I said last week, like, everybody's ready to lose weight, but many people are not ready for change, for true change. So this is the crux of my work. You've got to get to the point where you're ready to take this on. If he wants to learn piano and he's frustrated, and that's what I heard, he's like, oh man, that's the, oh man. Well, here's what you do. My challenge, I've said it before and I'll say it again, is that when I tell people this, they think it's ridiculous. They think walking by and playing one note is ridiculous. And that's my challenge. I mean, that's why I come here every single week. I don't do one podcast episode and go, yeah, you guys are good now. You got it. Take it away. People who listen to this podcast, and you know who you are, come here every week, even though I even repeat things sometimes, because it's 1 hour of a week of hours and hours of crap that you're bombarded with that tells you the exact opposite, that you should expect to do major change in a very short amount of time. Even if you listen to this podcast an hour a week, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what you're bombarded with, without, by the way, you even knowing it. The messaging in magazines and commercials and movies and all these kinds of things, that's hours compared to this. Now, I do believe that a very small amount of small stepping equals a huge amount of sort of unconscious being bombarded with the stuff that we, including me, are all bombarded with. One minute of engagement, 1 minute of deep breathing in your car on the way home has a much longer lasting effect than the 1 minute itself. So I said to him, play one note. And, you know, it's like he's not my client. So I'm not calling him every day and like going through that to remind him throughout that process. Once people get it, they get it. But they gotta, it's a leap of faith. You gotta believe. Boom. I'm not there yet. But that was my trend. That is my segue. That's how bad of a segue it was. I already segued to the subject of this episode, but then I'm backtracking. I'm not doing it yet. Anyway, so there you go. The change in the maintenance. I mean, that is the small step balance. Again, if it sounds to you, if you're just joining me, like this undertaking every day of hours per day, it's not. It's seconds per day. It's glancing at a list that you've handwritten and going on your way. And it's like an ebb and flow. It's like the contraction and the expansion of the universe. That's the contraction, expansion, and expansion of the small steps list. It expands, 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 and then boom, you get fired from your job and you have to move cities, and all that stuff is making your steps list unmanageable. Contraction. And then you contract it back down, and then you get settled in your new place and your new work, and you're kind of, okay, I got this going. Expansion, boom. And the idea is that you're not doing major shifts during this whole process. So it's not like during the getting a new job and living in a new place, you just go on a freaking 3-week bender on, you know, tequila and Funyuns, which I, that was, by the way, that was 1989 for me. Tequila and Funyuns the entire year. It wasn't. That was a little bit of an exaggeration. Pringles. By the way, I don't even know what's going on with Germany, but when I was in Germany, there was flavors of Pringles that I don't even think they've made it to the U.S. yet. Like, Germany is so far ahead on the Pringle front. Maybe it's not the same way anymore, but when I was there, my goodness, they are Pringle advantaged. Okay. So the Dial Back Day, I want to jump into that again. If you're just joining me, hashtag Dial Back Day. I choose little, again, remember the making cracks in your wall of behavior. That's what dialing back is. Sometimes it's a fruit only day. It's morphed into no dessert on Mondays. Last week it was no dessert, or the 2 weeks before, no dessert Monday through Thursday. I'm digging that. And here's where I'm kind of settling in on that. That turned out to be a really good evening. It really evened things out to bring that back down on the dessert thing Monday through Thursday, because it minimized the swing of me on the weekends. And I don't know why, except to say, well, I do know why, which is that I'm more engaged. It's made me more aware of the behaviors that were not making me happy, but that I was doing because of what I call last week associative behavior. So like watching a show and having that dessert, no matter if I wanted to eat the dessert or not. And so it's been really nice. And so, yeah, it's just what it is. So even the evening out, like Friday night, usually I come home late from the wellness center and I'll have dessert or whatever. Well, last Friday I didn't. And why? Not for restriction. Again, I'll say it again. If you think this sounds restrictive, you do absolutely do not do it. But I would go back and listen to a few episodes and sort of get where I'm coming at on this. Not restrictive at all. And so I didn't have dessert on Friday night, even though it wasn't part of my dial back plan that week. I just didn't feel like it. Had some tea with my wife. Gynostemma, I've talked about before. I love that tea. I got up next morning, took a nice run with Sid, and I had an excellent run. And I think it's because, you know, of what I talked about last week, but I'll bring it up a little bit more because I didn't go as deep last week as I'm going to, you know, right now for like 30 seconds, which is the later you eat, it upsets your natural rhythms of digestion and absorption and utilization of nutrients. The reason why this podcast is called Approaching the Natural is because that is, in a sense, the way that I advocate people living their lives for the rest of their lives. They're not fully, well, they're on different levels of that trek, let's say. Some people were way more natural, some people were not so much natural, but you're approaching the natural. You're sort of coming at your life day to day saying, what can I bring in by degrees that is natural? How can I do that? If I've been not so natural in the food realm, can I bring in a little more of what's more natural? If I've been stagnant and not moving at all, or busting my ass, you know, stressing my body out with movement, can I bring in a little bit more of what's natural to me, which is most of the time of exercise that is in balance with me, especially given what I'm eating and how I'm living, et cetera, right? That's the contextualization of any act you do. Again, it's not objective. I can run 6 miles tomorrow. It doesn't stress me out because I'm in good enough shape to run 6 miles, and I certainly eat well enough to support my body in those 6 miles. But that doesn't go for everybody. Or I can't run 15, and other people can do that day to day. That just ain't me because I have 3 children and I work full time, et cetera, et cetera. So I sort of have to put that in that way. But the approaching the natural is sort of this way of getting up and saying, I'm approaching the natural in my life. I'm approaching the natural in my life. I'm bringing integrated exercise into my workplace. Work, a job, unnatural. Cuckoo town. Really, it is. It is. Bringing a little more integrated movement in there, boom, you've approached the natural a little bit more. Bringing some healthy food during the day that you don't usually eat because some jackass brings donuts and you can't help yourself, boom, that was me. I'm the guy who would take a half a donut and be like, I'm just going to have half. And then just 5 minutes later, go back for the other half. Like every time, just great intentions, just half, you know what? Half for me. And then 5 minutes later, just kind of saunter on by there and just grab the other half. Yeah, I'm just going to have the other half. So approaching the natural, when it comes to digestion and absorption and just eating, there's a certain rhythm to it based on, sorry, and it's going to get a little nutty nut here for a second. Just bear with me. But there's actually something called the Schumann resonance. You guys can look it up. I first came across this in the Barefoot Running book that I read when I was transitioning to the barefoot style of running, but it's this Schumann resonance, and it's sort of this cycle. It's like, I think it's 7.83 hertz on the surface of the earth. Don't worry about it. But there is a certain area of research that's showing that there's sort of a peak in this at 8 a.m. and a peak at 8 p.m., no matter where you are on the earth at any given time. And it sort of correlates to sunrise, sunset, the natural times that we wake up and the natural times we go to sleep. But duh, we ain't doing that in the modern world. Why? Because we've got caffeine and we've got movies and we've got work to do and we've got, you know, not enough time in the day to get the stuff done. So we're not going to bed when the sun goes down. We're not going to bed when the sun goes down. And we sure as hell not getting up when the sun comes up, most of us, most of us. So the approaching the natural of the cycles of when you eat, there's a certain, just to understand that so that it puts to me in context why I feel so much better when I eat a little bit earlier, 6 or 7, and go to bed at 9 or 10, I've had a really good amount of time for my body to digest that food. Now, am I digesting food that's lighter and easier to digest? Yes, I am. Not light box, but lighter on my body. I'm eating things that are full of fiber, full of water, you know, again, approaching the natural food that is more, way more natural, right? My big frickin' salad. And I can tell the difference if I'm not eating something that's that way because it taxes my digestion. I feel weighed down by that stuff. And so that's the only point I wanted to make, which is that when I don't do dessert, in a sense, it's like, yes, I'm not doing a dessert and I'm sort of looking at that associative habit and making adjustments there. But on a more physiological level, I'm not eating as late. And so I am sleeping better. I am waking up with more energy. I mean, these are the cascading effects of a little action that you don't even foresee. When I sleep better and when I feel more energy in the morning, lo and behold, I'm more productive and in a better mood at work. Lo and behold, when I get home at the end of the day, I'm less tired. Lo and behold, it makes it better and easier for me on a Friday night when I'm like, yeah, if I want dessert, I'm going to have dessert, to not have it because I just don't freaking feel like it. Why? Because probably I'm more rested and more aware and in more in the moment and less fatigued. That's where I'm at. I'm so over somebody saying they want to lose weight and me tackling the food about it. I mean, that's like down the line. Remember, you're not there yet? Not there yet. Don't tackle food. If you want to lose weight, keep eating what you're eating. Try other steps in the meantime that allow you to become more engaged in your life. Don't do the thing that you're going to regret doing. Don't do the thing that got you there in the first place, because if you make big shifts on that, you're going to look at that stuff and go, now I can't eat this and I can't eat that, and it is restrictive for you. Don't do anything that seems restrictive. Add in other places, music, writing, journaling, contacting friends, bring more joy into your life in other ways and see how that affects the food. When you're ready to make adjustments to food because it's not restrictive and it's just about how you want to live better, great. That's why I can do no dessert Monday through Thursday, because I'm not married to it, because I don't feel good doing it. That's why. So when I make a change of not doing it, it's because I feel better. It's not about weight. Did I lose a little weight? Yeah, fine. Whatever. I'm not even trying. I'm in more of a maintenance phase. But yeah, I slimmed down a little bit. It feels good. But that was never my intention. My intention only was to not wake up in the morning feeling like, damn, I wish I hadn't had that because I didn't really even want it. That's my ball, my bag, and my ball. That's my ball. Wow. Big finish on that. Okay. So, you know, last week, I asked you guys that I did call the Did You series, doing it again. So this week, between last week and this week, and if you're just joining me, coming up next week, did you consider making a steps list? Did you consider writing a list down? And again, it's a living document. You write down a list of steps you want to do, and then you erase them all and chuck it. But you've done the process of going, huh, I want to do that and that and that. Have you done the first task? I haven't even brought that up in a million years. The first task of writing who you are, not how you want to be, who you're going to be. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be at a healthy weight. But write who you are now as if it's happening now. Present tense. I am at a healthy weight, even if you're not. Because if you're not, it's for a whole bunch of things that aren't you, as what I argue. And I win that argument every time. I literally win it every time. Because you can't argue against me because this is a one-sided podcast. Do you see the brilliance of my medium? If I had a talk show or a live audience, I would probably fail. like Oprah did. And so did you put a list together and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the first task. I'm going to write down who I am. I'm going to say I'm at a healthy weight. I'm going to say I work this type of job. I'm going to say I live in this kind of house. I'm going to say I have this kind of relationship as if it's happening now. Then I'm going to back out of that and say, okay, that's who I am. I am a healthy person. I eat well most of the time. I exercise. If you've never run a day in your life, your first task might say, I run marathons. Why? Because you've always in the back of your mind thought, God, that sounds fun. I really want to do a marathon. So you take that first task and then you build your steps list out of that first task. You say, okay, I got my first task. I see who I am. I'm somebody who eats healthy food every day. Okay, what is the step that I could do right now in the context of healthy food that I could do for the rest of my life? Well, I don't want to give up the thing that I love for dinner every night. Okay, can I add one slice of cucumber? Yeah, I could do that. I could do that for the rest of my life. That's I'm not going to sweat that. Does that take you closer to who you truly are? You bet your ass. I could probably title every one of my episodes up until now is just you bet your ass. You bet your ass. And then just boom. And then nutty nut nut. Those are the three recurring themes of my podcasts. Okay? Okay. Now, I'm having hot chocolate, by the way. It's my birthday and I really thought to myself, you know, I'm going to have a scotch. I haven't had a scotch during the podcast in forever. And I didn't feel like it. What is wrong with me? Okay. I want to talk about belief. Now, if you'll notice, I'm pretty darn clever and I changed the spelling to be belief. Why? Because leaves are natural, approaching the natural, boom, belief in yourself. Okay. I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. That was kind of a fail. Okay. So, belief in yourself. Belief I'll say it's a subject that has come up multiple times in my work. And I notice it in the world. I was thinking a lot about this episode in terms of like you ever hear like a quote by some star, by some actor or singer or whatever who's super successful, and the inevitable advice is just believe in yourself. And I always thought that was like trite crap. Like that kind of stuff curdles my freaking skin because I don't like little one-liners. Just believe in yourself. It's kind of like just meditate. Well, it's too, I don't even know what the just believe in yourself means. And if you don't have an arsenal of experience, if you don't have a background, believe in yourself really doesn't mean anything. And it's such an empty suit of clothes kind of thing. And I think I have a pretty astute BS detector. And that goes off when I hear things like, just believe in yourself. You know you can do it. Well, maybe you don't know you can do it. And I was thinking that a lot of the things that we truly believe about ourselves, what I consider in a way hardwired belief, like the things that we grew up with, the messaging we received as children, and that formulate what we believe in about ourselves. It was hardwired before we have it. It was hardwired when we were like receptors. We weren't actors in our own movie. We were just directed fully. Now we're still directed by the outside world, but we also act adults. Let's say you become an adulthood and it's like you become an adult, you hit adulthood and you're sort of like, okay, now I'm going to be more of a player. And I sort of see the balance with success in the modern world to how much of a receptor, how much are you directed in your life and how much are you acting like your own? How much are you directing versus being directed? And I think that belief in what we're capable of or what is possible for us in large part is dictated by things that were put in our brains at a young age before we had any say of it. And those are the things that that if we don't pay attention can actually dictate the choices of in our lives, can actually dictate what we do and don't do. It all is a choice, by the way, but it doesn't seem like that. Like we want to, you know, pursue this job, let's say, but we don't. And it's because on some level, we may believe I can't do that. I'm not smart enough to do that, or whatever that is. I can never write. I don't. That's a belief. That's a belief. But it's belief is such a weird concept for me. I have to tell you, like, I don't even know. Like, believe in God. Okay, well, if I believe in God and I go, yeah, God exists. Well, then what? Because ultimately, it's going to come down. This is how I look at it. We're trying to get on top of sort of the childhood messaging that we you know, about what we believe, that's compounded by the, in the context of media-based definitions of beauty, health, and happiness. So we also have a hard time believing we can look like Brad Pitt. I don't even know what Brad Pitt looks like anymore because he's like 87. Is Brad Pitt like 87? I think he's like 87 years old. So what Brad Pitt like 30 years ago? Brad Pitt 50 years ago. And I don't, and so I think it always comes, well, I don't want to jump ahead. When it comes to the subject of belief, and if you're hearing me sort of get into this in a passionate way, it's because this is a big one for me. I don't like, you know, just believe in yourself. What I do like is, is through my approach, you proving to yourself, not even having to believe. I'm not actually sure it's useful to even try and change your beliefs. I think sometimes that's a dead end road. I think it's a dead end to say, I'm going to just start believing that I can be a thin person when you were told at 6, 7, 8 years old that you were fat and ugly. And the idea of being a thin, healthy person is that I believe I can be that. I don't know that you believe that you can be that. I don't know that anybody who grew up in that context could believe that they could be otherwise. What I say is take that off the table. What I say is, who are you? Because you might say, well, then if you do the who are you, that's who you believe. No, no, no. I'm saying, what do you value? Not do you believe you can do it, but what do you value? All things being equal, if you didn't know how heavy you were or you didn't know what you were told as a kid, would you define yourself as healthy and happy? That's what I need. That's independent of belief. I sort of want to take belief off the table because it doesn't, you're putting you're putting all of your energy into trying to change a belief about yourself by taking belief on head on. And you lose because you've got years in the making of your beliefs. You've got years in the making of you believing this and that. I believe I can do that. I believe I can do that. I think it's a deeper issue than that. I think that it is about, not about whether you believe you can. I think it is about defining who you are first, that's independent of belief. And instead of convincing yourself first that you can do it, I think do it. And so then you say, well, Sid, it's not that simple. I can't just be a healthy, happy person. Exactly. Hence the small steps. But regardless, I will tell you that this is a fact. Regardless of whether you believe you could be a marathoner or you believe you can run a triathlon or do a triathlon, regardless of whether you believe you can do that or not, you can get off your seat and do 5 squats per hour. Or 1 squat per hour, or 2 squats per hour. That I know. And when you do that, you start to believe that you can exercise. You start to believe that you can move your body day to day. And but not because you're trying to change your belief, but because you're trying to change your life independent of, or you know, just putting the belief of how you grew up off completely off the table. We are so limited by the beliefs that exist in our brains now, that to say, okay, I'm just going to change what I believe about myself, I just am exhausted by that. And I will tell you this on a personal level. When I was a full-time actor, you know, and I think I referenced this in another episode, but there was like people that I knew and met that there's like an enemy, Ian Gomez or something, this guy, I love, great actor. And I met him because I was on a guest on this one show and he was there and he was always like, I just know that I'm going to get work. I just know that I'm going to get work. It just is going to come. And sure enough, it does. He believes that about himself for whatever reason, but I didn't. I didn't believe that because I was raised to not, that's, I'm uncomfortable with the whole idea of not knowing when your next paycheck is. Of course, I'm in this situation again, partly because I just started doing acting. I started acting. But it always was this point of interest for me and attention for me that I can admit, I think I wasted some time thinking about how to change this belief about myself instead of saying, why don't I just put all that energy into being a better actor? Why don't I put all this extra energy into playing, you know, with my band? I was like, why can't we break through? Why? Maybe I don't believe that I can be that successful. To me, looking back, wasted energy. I would rather have spent even more time writing, even more time performing, even more time. So what it is, I can't go back. I think I did incredibly well considering. But what I'm working on with you guys and even in just in my own life is whether I believe that I can be super successful as a health coach or super success as a best-selling author. If you said, Sid, do you believe you could be, write a best-selling book? I don't know. Probably not. But is it going to stop me from writing a book, the best book I can? No, it's not. And it's like, I want to get to the point where whether I believe it or not, sort of inconsequential. And I know that people go, if you believe it, it'll happen. I don't believe that. I think it'll happen if you continue focusing on how you want to live. And furthermore, when you listen to stars and things like that, just believe in yourself, it'll happen for you. Well, what will happen for you? Because many of those people are freaking miserable. So maybe they were so cutthroat that they believed in themselves that they could, against all odds, become, get a platinum album and just piss everybody off on the way and alienate their friends and family. And yes, they got the gold album, but for what? For what? I mean, part of this whole belief thing is first do the work to consider what it is you actually want in your life. That, to me, is a more useful direction for you. Instead of using the media to say, well, I want to be like Taylor Swift, and I do want to be like Taylor Swift, and I'm literally 5 pounds from looking like she does in a skirt. I'm that close. But that's me. First, before you use the media and say, I want to look like Hugh Jackman, which again, I do. I sort of want to be a Hugh Jackman, Taylor Swift kind of a hybrid there. I think it would work extremely well. Ask the question of who you are. Because before you jump to conclusions that having $1 million in the bank is going to make you happy, maybe if you spent a little extra time about what you value in your life, you might actually come up with a different conclusion about what would make you happy. And then do you go from there of, okay, I'm just going to believe I can do it? Or do you say, let me actually start doing that thing. I believe I could be a filmmaker. Okay, start making films. I believe I can be a writer. Okay, start writing. I mean, whether you believe or not, I want this to be for you. I want you to try this on, you guys. What if belief doesn't make any difference, whether you believe or not? What if it doesn't make any difference? What if you don't actually believe that you can be a novelist? Is that going to stop you from writing a sentence a day or two sentences a day? If for no other reason, understand that a lot of what you so-called believe about yourself, even though I think you really don't believe it about yourself, it was just sort of what you were told about yourself and it sort of seems like a belief. Regardless of that, you can actually start action right now. And what happens is we put so much weight on these beliefs, either to try to change them or that they are somehow true, that we are inhibited and prohibited from pursuing the things that we want to pursue when there's literally nothing stopping us from doing that. Anybody can write a novel. Anybody can write a song. Yes, it might suck. That's not the point. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I don't think that things like writing a hit song make anybody happy. I think that writing a song in a way that is true to you and is an expression of you and you're learning more about yourself, and I can speak to this personally because this was my own trek. I'm proud of the songs I wrote. They could suck for everybody. It doesn't really matter because I'm happy. If I tried to write the song, I talked about this in a few episodes ago, if I tried to write a song that you guys love, I'd probably fail and be miserable at the same time because I don't know what you guys love. I could craft this podcast and make it a paleo podcast and talk about protein grams and I'd get a lot more listeners than I do now, but I'd be unhappy doing it. It wouldn't be authentic to me. What's authentic to you, if you want to talk about authenticity, authentic to you is you taking action in your life, adding in things in your life that are true to who you are, regardless of what you believe you're able to do with those actions. Who knows? Who cares? When you put your brain into just believe in yourself, believe you can make it, it leaves little space, in my opinion, it leaves little time for considering what you actually freaking want and who you actually are. Now, you might do that thinking and think, no, I really want to be a famous actor. Fine. But you get there in a different way. And again, that's what I talked about earlier in this episode, which is how you approach your life. How you come at your life. Well, I do. I want to be super successful as an actor. I want to be super successful as a songwriter. Fine. But that's when you get to that what you want. When you get to the what you want. When you get to the who you are. It devalues the belief about whether you can achieve it or not, because you have done the thinking, the engagement, and then you can begin the process of becoming that more. The media, I always blame, even though whatever, but the media sets us up for unhappiness. I mean, let's face it. Everything in media, in magazines and movies, it's crafted. You guys, when you see it, I've talked about this before, when you see it, an actor, and then an article about an actor, and the writer goes, yeah, they met me at a blah, blah, used clothing store, and it's all crafted by a freaking publicist, and it's all crap. But that's what sets us up for what we think success looks like, what we think happiness looks like. And whether that person is actually happy or not is totally inconsequential, because that doesn't matter. What matters is what you're doing in your life. What matters is, are you happy in your life? Believing that you can achieve happiness, I don't know. Doing the things that you think are going to make you happy, that I know. And because the small steps approach, the way that I craft it, is fluid, you might say, I think it would make me happy to play an instrument. But then 6 months later, you realize, I mean, I'm glad I went through the process, but I don't really love it. Fine, moving on. Go try something else, because you're approaching your life in a different way than you were before. I'll leave kind of with this. The older I get, and maybe this is just me being like sappy guy on his birthday. I'm 47 years old. I feel like I'm 22. I'm not even joking on every level. Although there are certain points in my life where I go, I'm kind of feeling my age, but in a good way, with like experience and just kind of, again, like that BS detector I was talking about. There is a huge divide in the modern world between a good idea and the execution of that idea. Few actually do anything. Few of us actually, we all have good ideas, and we all have ideas of what we want in our lives. We think, I want to lose weight, boom. But look at the weight in our culture. You think that all the people who are overweight want to be overweight? Maybe some of them, but I'd say overwhelmingly, most of them don't. Do you think most people want to be happy and healthy? Yes. But are they happy and healthy? No, most are not. Because we understand the concepts of these things. We understand the outward like appearance of what that thing is, but we don't understand the execution. And that goes even for people who go, oh yeah, Sid, I want to start a podcast. I want to do a podcast. I go, great, here's how you do it. But there's few people who actually do it. I mean, writing screenplays, writing books, writing, you know, getting a new job. We talk a lot and we have ideas, and belief falls into that of what you believe you can do. I believe I can. Okay, well, then execute it. If you start to execute it and you stop, it's because you may believe on some level that you're going to fail at it, so you don't want to make that trek in the first place. Again, I'm breaking it down into small steps. You can get over that, but not by taking on belief, not by grabbing out another belief and saying, I believe this now, and so therefore I'm going to be successful because I believe that I can be a best-selling author, therefore. Sort of the fake it till you make it thing. I don't buy into that. I go, let's get some action going. The small steps approach is 100% about doing. It's 100% about doing. I'm not trying to shift your belief about you. I don't even care. You shouldn't care. Yeah, I believe I'm fat and I'm going to always be fat. I believe that I, blah, blah, blah. Okay, good, good. Meanwhile, put some cucumber on your plate. That's action. That's how you change belief, if you even care about changing belief. Eventually, it doesn't really matter anymore because you're living as a healthy, happy person most of the time. And it really doesn't really make a difference what you believe or not believe, because it's happening. It's happening, and you're happy in your life over time. And then you learn how to maintain that over time and learn how to re-engage when you need to, because life changes in the modern world. And the modern world is so nutty nut nut that sometimes we do have to re-engage in our lives because we have big changes in our lives and we have to re-engage to get ourselves back on track. Fine, fine. But when you approach your life as a small stepper, those big changes in your life don't mean big changes to you. They mean, well, okay, that's happening. Whoa. And I can sort of be outside that, have a little perspective. I got fired from my job. I don't need to start taking drugs. I kind of got it. And I can kind of re-engage, make some adjustments here. Okay, I got to look for a new job. How do I small step into that? How do I, you know, this, and that? How do I re-engage? Regardless of whether you believe you're going to get another job. There's a big contingency that's like, if you believe it, it's going to manifest. Well, hey, if that works for you and that's happened for you, great. That's the quote secret, bunch of crap. Sorry, it is a bunch of crap. That's what I believe. I believe it's a bunch of crap. I never talk about religion on this podcast. And if you're religious, there's no, I have no judgment at all. I've talked about this one listener who was like, what does church fit? And I think church is fantastic if it gives you what you need support-wise to, and faith-wise to do what you need to do. But to me, and this is not a crack about any religion at all, I swear to you, I'm telling you. But even though I touched upon this earlier, the belief in God, to me, in a way, is inconsequential. And here's what I mean. I don't think it's as easy as just believe in God. I think that's a cop-out. I think that a lot of some religions do say, just believe in God, it'll all work out for you. I still think it's about action. I think that if God exists, he or she or it is in the actions. He or she or it is in the kindness, is in compassion, is in self-care. That's where God lies. Not in the book that tells you if you just believe in God, you can do whatever you want. That's not what's making people happy and healthy. That's not what's helping people treat each other better. If God exists, it is in how we manifest our values through ourselves and how we treat each other and all the beings on this earth. How do we come at our lives? That is where the Spirit exists, in my opinion. And I'm trying each week to help you guys see what that's like for you by crafting a stupid little steps list that doesn't seem at all to do anything, but I just want you to jump in and suspend, in a way, disbelief just to give this a try, because it doesn't cost you anything, time or otherwise. All right? All right, you guys. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Going out for dinner with my kids and my wife right now. I'm shutting this down. I'm going to upload it when I come back. But you are not the wiser, because you just turned on your little iPhone and it downloaded, and good on you. But just letting you know the process. All right, you guys. Podcast at SidGarzaHillman.com is my email if you want to send me an email and with any questions or comments or whatever. Throw me an iTunes review if you don't mind. Had a couple more this week. You have no idea how much that helps. It only takes you a couple minutes, but if that, shoot on iTunes, give me a freaking review. Okay? Donate to the podcast, however you want to do it. Get a custom signed book, all that kind of crap. You guys are doing great. Thank you again for the emails. I hope, you know what, lady that emailed me, just bill me for the lycra pants. It's on me. It's on me. All right, you guys, you're doing great. Come visit me next week for the Approaching the Natural podcast. In the meantime, be well.
Stepped into your cathedral, I set my eyes on the mother of pearl, an easy decoration for a frightened girl. A pair of eyes set back, the color of shame on your neck. It was cold that day, I remember that. Stubborn frost on my window, or just something I couldn't tell. If you could be my winter, It might be the best one. Maybe it was the sound of the bells, or the walls much bigger than us. I saw you watch the ground like it was talking. Stained glass, fake light on your face. I watched the tears never leave your one.